We continue our article on What True Prayer Is by John Bunyan. In the first three installments, we saw that prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ in the strength and assistance of the Spirit. Now the fifth point is for such things as God has promised. Prayer is only true when it is within the compass of God's Word. It is blasphemy, or at best babbling vainly, when the petition is unrelated to the book. David, therefore, in his prayer, kept his eye on the word of God. My soul, says he, cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. And again, my soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen me according to thy word. That's in Psalm 119. Indeed, the Holy Ghost does not immediately quicken and stir up the heart of the Christian without the Word, but by, with, and through it, by bringing that to the heart, and by opening that whereby the man is provoked to go to the Lord to tell him how it is with him, to argue and to supplicate according to the Word. Thus it was with Daniel, that mighty prophet of the Lord. He, understanding by books that the captivity of the children of Israel was nearing its end, then, according to that word, he makes his prayer to God. I, Daniel, says he, understood by books, that is, the writings of Jeremiah, the numbers of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. It's Daniel chapter 9. As the Spirit is the helper and governor of the soul when it prays according to the will of God, so it guides by and according to the word of God and his promise. Hence it is that our Lord Jesus Christ himself did make a stop, although his life lay at stake for it. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be, he said in Matthew 26. Were there but a word for it in the Scripture, I should soon be out of the hands of mine enemies, and I should be helped by angels. But the Scripture will not warrant this kind of praying, for that says otherwise. It is a praying, then, according to the word and promise. The Spirit, by the word, must direct in the manner as well as in the matter of prayer. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also, wrote Paul in 1 Corinthians 14:15. But there is no understanding without the Word, for if they reject the Word of the Lord, what wisdom is in them, wrote Jeremiah. The sixth principle is that we pray for the good of the church. This clause covers whatsoever tends to the honor of God, Christ's advancement, or his people's benefit. For God, Christ, and his people are so linked together that if the good of the one be prayed for, then the others must needs be included. As Christ is in the Father, so the saints are in Christ, and he that touches the saints touches the apple of God's eye. Therefore, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and you pray for all that is required of you. For Jerusalem will never be in perfect peace until she be in heaven, and there is nothing that Christ more desires than to have her there. That also is the place that God, through Christ, has given her. He then that prays for the peace and good of Zion, or the church, asks in prayer for that which Christ has purchased with his blood, and also for that which the Father has given to him as the price thereof. Now he that prays for this must pray for abundance of grace for the church, for help against all her temptations, that God would let nothing be too hard for her, and that all things might work together for her good, that God would keep his children blameless and harmless, the sons of God, to his glory in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. This is the substance of Christ's own prayer in John 17. And all of Paul's prayers run that way, as one of his prayers eminently shows. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But a short prayer, you see, and yet full of good desires for the church from beginning to end, that she may stand and go on, and that in the most excellent frame of spirit, even without blame, sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, let our temptations or persecutions be what they will. The seventh and final principle of true prayer is prayer submits to the will of God and says, "Thy will be done," as Christ has taught. Therefore, the people of the Lord, in all humility, are to lay themselves and their prayers and all that they have at the foot of their God, to be disposed of by Him as He in His heavenly wisdom sees best. Yet not doubting, but that God will answer the desire of His people that way, that shall be most for their advantage and His glory. When the saints therefore pray with submission to the will of God, it does not argue that they are to doubt or question God's love and kindness to them. But because they at all times are not so wise, and sometimes Satan may get advantage of them, tempting them to pray for that which, if they had it, would prove neither to God's glory nor to His people's good. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, writes John, 1 John chapter 5, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we desired of Him.